Hi everyone, it's me, Sandy Cruz of Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. For years now, I've been bringing to you conversations about wellness from experts from all over the world. Whether it be suggestions in how you can age better, biohacking, alternative wellness, these are conversations to help you live your best life. I want to live a long, healthy, and vibrant life. Never mind all those stigmas that as we reach midlife and beyond, we're just going to shrivel up and die with some horrible disease. Always remember, balanced living works. I really look forward to this season. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today with me, I have an incredible recording, and I saved it for today. Most Americans, and actually people all over the world, know the significance of September 11th. And today we're going to talk all about post-traumatic stress disorder, trauma, post-traumatic stress injury. And I've got some incredible experts, and they're the authors of the book, The Invisible Machine. You're going to hear more about it, so stay tuned. Most of you who have kids, whether they're old, young, it is back to school. And I tell you, I've had an interesting segue into September, but you know, it's just, to me, September always signifies change, transition, and it's almost bittersweet. Like, I love the fall, but I miss the summer, and I'm sad to see the summer go. I'm sure a lot of you feel the same. And it's really odd when you enter a new stage in your life. Like, we are empty nesters. However, I do believe, you know, kids these days, they go away, they come back, they go away, they come back. But once they leave for university, it's like they're always going to have that one foot out the door, if you know what I mean. So it's definitely a transition. I will be at the Biohacking Congress in October in Miami, October 21st. And definitely hit me up if you want to come and you want some tickets, because I've got a discount code. I think it's pretty good too. So send me an email, sandy@sandyknutrition.ca, if you're interested. Also, if you've got any feedback, if you want to get in touch with me, if you just want to send me a note and tell me that you love my show. Also, by the way, I'm going to say I prefer to have a rating and a review on Apple. That seems to be like the best for me to continue to just keep bringing amazing topics, amazing guests each and every week, just to help you age better and live your best life. But of course, you can also email me, and definitely follow me on all of my socials. I am on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I have a private Facebook group, Sandy K Nutrition Health and Lifestyle Queen Podcast. I also have a page. It is Sandy K Nutrition anywhere and everywhere that you do social media. Also, all of my interviews are now being posted, the full interview raw on YouTube. You can watch me there. Just search for Sandy K Nutrition. Please do share this podcast episode with anyone who you feel might benefit. It is a very different look at trauma, and I feel the more people know about this, the more people will actually be able to address some of the pretty serious symptoms of trauma. And now let's cut on through to this amazing interview. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today with me, I have two guests, and they are the authors of the new book, The Invisible Machine, a book about trauma and an amazing new breakthrough that we're going to be discussing today. Dr. Eugene Lipov is a complex anesthesiologist, and he has been called the Einstein of modern anesthesiology. His discovery and innovation, the dual sympathetic reset, was endorsed, or DSR, I'm going to refer to it as DSR, was endorsed by President Obama in 2010. His research has an 85 to 90% success rate in reducing the effects of trauma. Dr. Lipov is a renowned board-certified pain specialist and the inventor of DSR, a minimally invasive procedure that has been proven in treating PTSD symptoms. Dr. Lipov has been featured on The Doctors, Fox News, Medscape, Wired, and more. My other guest is Jamie Mustard, and he is an artist and a renowned strategic consultant. He is the author of the best-selling book, The Iconist, The Art and Science of Standing Out. Beginning as a child and then into adulthood, he suffered years of trauma at varying levels before stumbling across Dr. Lipov and the dual sympathetic reset procedure. So today we are going to talk all about DSR, we're going to talk about trauma, and we're going to talk about this innovative procedure to really help people get over this stumbling issue of trauma. So with that, welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming today.
Hey, thank you for having us. You said our name's a little off. It's Dr. Lipov. Lipov, yeah. But that was a beautiful intro, Sandry. I'm Jamie Mustard. No, that's kidding. No, you had my name right. I'm Mustard. But it's Lipov. And that was a beautiful intro. Thank you.
Great. So, you know, I always have to ask, what is your background? What got you involved in this? And I'm going to start with Dr. Lipov. Sorry, maybe you can...
Close enough.
It's the Canadian accent. It's the Canadian way.
Maybe that's
you
it.
Call me Dr. Jean. How's that sound?
Okay. Let's start with you.
Okay. So basically, I've seen a lot of... My father had PTSD from World War II, which led to him having severe PTSD, which led to my mother getting PTSD from him and me. Eventually, she committed suicide when I was a surgical resident. It gave me a lot of interest in trauma, PTSD, and she was under care of psychiatrists, so I was not a fan of psychiatric therapy. So an interesting set of circumstance. I'm a pain physician, so I've been working on pain for years, and then I came across a treatment to treat actually hot flashes in women, as I know that's one of your interests. And then I was able to figure out why it works for hot flashes. And then I was able to predict that this procedure would help. Then it was telangiectasia block became DSR, would help PTSD. And that's how it all started. My first publication came out in 2008. But the reason I had the drive to really persist was all the naysayers because of my mother's suicide.
Wow. You know, usually our trauma drives our passion, right?
Mine definitely does.
Yeah. I mean, I can't relate in that respect, but I can relate to, you know, our past history becoming your real passion in life and helping others. Now, Jamie, what about you?
Well, I have an interesting story as well. I will say for the sake of this interview, you know, we're referring to it as PTSD because that's the term that people understand. But really the term that we use and the more rightful term is PTSI, which stands for post-traumatic stress injury, because it's not a disorder. It's actually a biological injury to the body. You can see it on a brain scan. And due to Dr. Lipov's revelatory innovation, it's now treatable and fixable. Post-traumatic stress is a biological injury, and it's fixable without dependency, without massive side effects, with the dual sympathetic reset. But, you know, back, you know, to my story, it's interesting that you say that trauma drives your passion. You know, I was a person that, you know, was... suffered years of childhood abandonment and grew up in abject poverty and slum-like conditions, in and out of institutional environments, away from my parents, So just a massive amount of chronic stress from birth, had severe literacy problems into my late teens. And then given some circumstances in my late teens, I was able to overcome my literacy issues and graduate from the London School of Economics. So I'd really lived these extreme lives of extreme poverty and then kind of going into this other extreme world. And when I got to that world, I kind of, what drove me, you say passion, you know, your trauma can drive you. What drove me was to get away from poverty and to get away from ignorance. So I thought affluence and education would solve my problems. Hmm. And when I got to the London School of Economics, there was all these kids who had affluence and they had education, and maybe they had more problems than I did. So it didn't solve, it was confusing to me. I'm here and I said, like, these guys are messed up. They don't even have a real problem. And I didn't, so it, you know, what was drove me didn't, wasn't the, when I got there, wasn't the solution. And it was not until, you know, 25 years later, that I came across Dr. Lipov, and I understood why trauma does, you know, it defies class, it defies all. I understood what the biological damage done to the body. It can be done. You can get a biological injury from having distant parents, non-loving parents, mean parents, and so it made kind of my life make sense. So yeah, I do think, anyway, I hope that's a good answer.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking we should probably first define, because you just said, you know, it's PTSI, not PTSD. So there's so many different terms that are thrown around right now. And I'm sure that in a clinical medical setting, you know, you probably have very specific definitions. Let's face it, trauma is like thrown around all over the place. Like, oh, my trauma, right? But there's varying degrees of trauma.
Let me address that for you, if you don't mind. So I'm very sensitive to language, and specific language as being medical, right?
Yes.
So if you look at the history of the term, so PTSD was a term that was defined by a big committee of psychiatrists in 1980 in DSM-3. The original term in the modern era was soldier's heart. That was described in Civil War. It was described as people being faint, blank faces, and faraway look. That was the original description. Then it became battle fatigue, shell shock, not in that order, and then Vietnam syndrome, and now it became PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So the way it's defined in the book, and DSM-5A is the latest version, is that you need to have an experience outside normal human experience, such as battlefield trauma, rape, something horrible. But what people don't take into account is that if you have small trauma, but a lot of them, let's say you're abandoned, you're not being beaten, you're not being starved, but you're abandoned, there's no connection, no human connection. That changes the brain. So if I may, let me tell you what trauma is from my perspective, and you can see how it all falls together. Let's say there is an event or number of events. Fight and flight system or sympathetic system is overactivated. There's no debate about that. Your heart starts to beat further. You start to hyperventilate. You start to look around. That's all a physiological thing. So the easiest way to look at it is if you're being chased by a tiger, what are you going to be doing? You're not going to be sleeping.
No.
You're not going to be having sex because you're thinking about running away from the tiger. And there's a physiologic reason why 85% of men with PTSD have sexual dysfunction, because their norepinephrine level is increased. That's been shown. There is no debate about that. Anyway, so if the trauma is persistent enough or severe enough, it activates nerve fibers in the brain, sympathetic nerve fibers, and that makes them grow. And that persists over time. And what happens, norepinephrine levels are increased in the brain. You can actually measure that. If you take the fluid around the brain, CSF, you can actually see that change, which is really cool to be able to actually see what happened. And so a friend of mine, Dr. Frank Ogberg, he came up with the term Stockholm Syndrome. You probably heard that.
I've heard that.
Yeah. He's a very famous psychiatrist. So he was part of the committee in 1980 coming up with the term PTSD. So about 6 years ago, he started the movement trying to change the name PTSD to PTFI, post-traumatic stress injury. And the reason he believed that's true is because there is a biologic change that's measurable. Nowadays, you can actually use an advanced scanner like a PET scanner or FMR to actually see that. So when somebody says PTSD is an invisible wound, it's invisible if you got the wrong scanner. If you got the right scanner, you can actually see it. In fact, NYU is doing that specific study using functional MRI and see if DSR works to reverse the change in the brain. So kind of in summary, I was in Congress in 2010 talking about this, and they wanted to change the name PTSD to PTS. People don't like the term disorder, because if you think about, is there such thing as a broken leg disorder? No, you have a broken leg. Take an x-ray, go ahead. There's no stigma, right? There's no stigma. But PTSD, basically, your woman, your weakness of soul, there's always an excuse why. And then people self-doubt, and that leads to suicide. And because of my mother's history, I'm very sensitive to suicides. So I think that's why it's important to change it. In fact, we're going to have a great PSA, public service announcement, specifically talking about name change. We're going to try to change the name because it will really save lives if that happens. So there is a lot of terms being thrown around. CPTSD, which is complex PTSD, PTSD, severe PTSD. All those terms, in my personal opinion, are going to be gone. PTSI should be the right term because that reflects what we know today because our science is progressing. There you go.
That's a great clarification. I just have to ask now, because you know, I guess everybody's different, where some people, you will see that injury in the scans, whereas others, like, I mean, wouldn't you say everybody has a different resiliency as it results to trauma? I have already introduced you listeners to AminoCo's amino acids. I've done a show, actually a couple of shows, on the importance of amino acids as we age. I've also done a show on fatty liver. This seems to be an ongoing issue for many people in midlife and older. Many automatically assume that, you know, you have to be drinking a lot of alcohol to have fatty liver, but this is not the case. This happens as in non-alcoholic fatty liver to many people. First, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the company AminoCo. Their science is unmatched with over 30 years of experience, over 500 medical research papers published, and over 70,000 times cited by other researchers. AminoCo has various formulations that are meant to actually help the body in different areas. Last year, I introduced you to their life formula. This year, I'm going to introduce you to Purity. AminoCo's Purity is 100% science-backed with clinically proven benefits to help maintain healthy liver fat levels. This formulation protects against liver and kidney oxidative damage using N-acetylcysteine. Many of you might have heard of this. The goal of Purity is to help you maintain a healthy level of liver enzymes for optimal liver function. Now, it's also keto-friendly, soy-free, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO, and there are natural flavors available. So if you want to try this out, go to www.aminoco.com/SKN. Use my code SKN for 30% off. That's SKN for Sandy K Nutrition for 30% off.
That's a great question. So there's an interesting one more piece I'd like to add to that. I wrote a paper about epigenetics and trauma. Epigenetics is a DNA change that doesn't require mutation. It can happen in the individual. Trauma changes genetic code, which is really crazy.
Yes.
Right? And it's known that trauma, let's say my grandfather was almost killed by the White Army in Russia. So his DNA went to my father, and that made him much more likely to develop PTSD. My father gave me that genetic tone. Actually, we know which part of DNA is changed. And actually, that's a part of DNA that controls the nerve sprouting or the extra nerve growth. So you're talking about more sensitivity. A lot of it's epigenetic change. It also depends how sensitive your body is. So if you take a equal, so let's say you look at a special forces group. I work with a lot of special forces people. I'm very fortunate for that. Let's say you have a group of six soldiers go out and there is a battle. Let's say two of them are killed. Four people come home, and let's say two of them had a bad childhood or bad genetic supply for whatever the reason. Their chance of developing PTSD or PTSI is much higher compared to the ones who don't have that background. So you're absolutely right. There is a predisposition to developing trauma. Even if you have the same event, somebody who has a bad childhood or bad genetics will develop much more trauma, much more PTSD, and it'll stick. That's a problem.
That's fascinating because, you know, you talk about the war. I know my grandfather's history. He fought in the war. He had very severe trauma. And my mom has told me stories about, you know, when it would come on, like he would have episodes. But back then, there was no diagnosing, you know, there was no help. He would just go into these episodes. And so what you're saying, Dr. Lipov, is that because my grandfather had it genetically, my mom could also have it, and that could also be passed to me through epigenetics. I know I interviewed Mark Wolin. It didn't start with you. It was all about inherited trauma.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, what's so relevant here is, you know, Dr. Lipov starting over 20 years ago. And at that time, you know, it was PTSD. Now that we understand it as a biological injury and what we're trying to do with this book, The Invisible Machine, because it's a machine that you can't see, it's a mechanism, it's not a disorder, is when you, it's that machine, which is a gangle of nerves in your neck that come down from your amygdala. That's where the actual reset is done. And then that affects then because the ganglion, the sympathetic nervous system is in the ganglion, it's connected to the brain. It then, when you reset the nerves, the nerves in the neck, the brain goes back to normal. But now that we have that understanding, we have to, based on what Dr. Lipov just said, rather than looking at post-traumatic stress or trauma as this thing, he defined it as something in the extremes, you know, war, you know, Civil War syndrome or shell shock or Vietnam syndrome. If you look at it as biological, well, that you're, this machine, this invisible machine, the name of our book, it's apathetic. It can't think. It can't tell the difference between distant parents and war. The injury is the injury and the symptoms are the symptoms. Of course, we would have to have homogeneous or similar symptoms as in relation to threat to survive as a species, right? So we have 7 or 8 symptoms that are going to be consistent in all human beings and actually, you know, probably are responsible for a whole range of our psychiatric ills and then physiological problems that cascade out from there. So if you know, he gave the example of running from a tiger. So whether it's war or distant parents, you know, I believe up to 50% of the North American and global population may have this crypt in their body. The majority of them are not going to have it from this past, old, outdated way of understanding post-traumatic stress. They're going to a blunt force trauma or a sexual assault. They're going to have it from carrying prolonged allostatic load. The whole concept is if you get threatened or you see something overwhelming, that threatens your life, that the amygdala sends a signal to your nervous system, the ganglion, and it jerks you into action. Okay. And you either run or you fight. Right. Well, if that signal is too overwhelming, like your buddy's killed in front of you, a sexual assault, then you go up, but like you do when you almost crash your car, you would come down 5 hours later. Well, if it's too overwhelming, it stays heightened, it stays locked in fight or flight. And that, but I think the majority of the people that are getting this are not getting it from blunt force trauma. They don't even associate themselves with trauma. They're getting it from what's called prolonged allostatic load, which is extreme or chronic stress. So like if you carry stress all the time at this heightened level and then it goes away, you're not going to come back down. Mm-hmm. And and again, because it's a biological mechanism in the body, if your leg gets broken, your leg can't tell if it's broken from a car accident or jumping off a roof. It's just a broken leg. Same thing about this system. It's apathetic. It doesn't think. It can't. The injury is the injury. So we have to broaden. You know, it used to be when people used to say to me, you know, Sandy, you'll relate to this. Trauma is trauma. It used to really piss me off when people would say that, because my trauma was so extreme. I would be one to say like, F you, that's not true. Let me tell you about my trauma. But upon meeting Dr. Litbob and understanding his work and understanding it as a biological injury, trauma is trauma. You're gonna have the same symptoms if you had a distant parent that you could have coming back from Afghanistan. Where I grew up in poverty, 100% of people have this from the stress of poverty, and they have the exact same 7 or 8 symptoms as someone coming back from war.
What are those symptoms?
Well, think of it again, as Dr. Lipov was saying, is how you would feel if you were running from a tiger. Okay. So they're the things that would keep you alive. So you'd have anxiety that the tiger's anywhere around you, mild paranoia, the tiger is going to jump around. So mild paranoia, you'd have a sense of doom that the tiger was going to eat you at any moment. Hypervigilance. You'd be hyper vigilant looking for the tiger. You'd be hyper aroused because you know, the tiger could leap out of the bushes in any second. You wouldn't be able to sleep, because you can't sleep if a tiger's chasing you. You would have hair trigger. You'd be reactive, jumpy, because there's a tiger there. That's why when you know people in your life that are jumpy for no reason, they likely have this biological injury. They react too quickly. They don't process because they have this injury, because the nerves in their neck is telling their brain that there's a tiger there when they're sitting on the couch eating Cheetos. And then in the ultimate form of these symptoms, in the military, where people are trained to protect, the ultimate form of flight is suicide.
Mm.
In the neighborhoods where I come, where violence is more, you know, grew up, where violence is more acceptable, the ultimate form of fight is violent behavior or homicide, right? So you have to think of it like this. If you know, we're not designed to think a tiger is going to eat us for every 24 hours a day, 365 days a week, 365 days a year, 7 days a week. We're supposed to get heightened for a second, and then we come down a few hours later. So if your body biologically, and again, you can get this from distant parents, you can get it from bullying. You could get, you know, everybody has it, like you were saying earlier, Sandy. People are different. Some people can get it if they have an epigenetic history from very mild ways. They can get this permanent injury, which you can see on a brain scan.
Yeah.
Right? So, but you have to think of it like this. In the extreme, if you felt 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that a tiger was about to eat you, you would want to kill yourself, because we're not designed to live like that. We're designed to live like that for 30 seconds. And then we start to come down 5 hours later. So if you're feeling that all the time, you're going to want to take your own life, or you're going to want to kill somebody else. So when you see people that have these tendencies, and you give them the dual sympathetic reset, the suicidal ideation goes away. And the violent ideation goes away, because they're not feeling like they're going to, this gangle of nerves in their neck is lying to their brain, telling them they're about to be killed all the time, is gone. No dependence. There's no doubt, you know, it's safe. It's the original shot that Dr. Lipov innovated and modified has been around since 1926, almost 100 years. So we know it's safe. There's no downside. And, you know, there's all these incredible modalities that you cover in the world, but most people, this is the primary broken leg. And so most people are doing EMDR, talk therapy,
yes.
So, you know, ketamine. They're doing all of these modalities over a broken leg. So what we're trying to say is we're getting this out of the extreme in the military and its first responders, and we're bringing this to plumbers, housewives, yoga instructors, business people, CEOs, people that don't associate with trauma. We're bringing it to the masses and saying, if you've carried prolonged allostatic load, or even if you don't associate with trauma, you likely have this biological injury if you're feeling the discomfort of the symptoms that I mentioned a few minutes ago.
Okay. Here's a question that I'm sure everyone's going to probably have. There's, like you said, there's varying degrees, and then you bring in epigenetics and you bring in all these different factors in how it's going to affect you. I do want to get into other therapies and the success rates, because I know the success rate of this particular procedure is very high. But I want to understand this because, okay, I'm going to give you my example. And most of the people who listen to my podcast know my story. When I was 40 years old, my daughter at the age of 5 was diagnosed with cancer. At that exact same time, I ended up breaking my foot. I wasn't treating my foot. I was taking the boot off, driving her to tests. Then exactly 1 year later, I was diagnosed with cancer. During that time, my stress was up here. I didn't sleep. I didn't eat. I wasn't taking care of myself. You know, like it was so extreme for a long period of time. Exactly 1 year after that, my husband coded. I call it the snowball effect. This is what I call it. I went through a lot of stress in that 3-year window, but I was able to bounce back. I actually did some, that's when I turned to holistic health. That's when I realized I needed more. So here's the question. If I was to ever do that brain scan, would I have shown differences in my brain during that time? Or could I bounce back, which is what I did do, right? Because it's so complicated, because I would call that traumatic. Those 3 years were traumatic for me. But then what do I do? You know, if that's me, do I jump to a medical procedure such as this to address that allostatic load? Or, you know, like...
I would love to comment. Okay, he's going to go.
I have to do it. This is a medical question.
You go.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, not everybody needs DSF. There's no question. Doesn't matter how bad. There's also going to be people who are tough, such as yourself, that you can control it. It depends. So here's the easy ways to look at it. So every time you get a hit or some kind of horrible information, broken leg, afraid of your daughter is going to die, afraid, you know, that something happens to your husband, all of that puts on fight and flight nerves or sympathetic nerves. They grow. However, some people's nerves are more sticky than others. Some people's nerves persist. If you can get out of it by doing meditation, appropriate sleep, appropriate diet, appropriate supplements, you do not need this procedure. No question about it.
Question.
Jamie, hold on. This is my space. Give me a second.
Go.
Yeah. So look at it as a human being. The way God designed us is amazing. We have a lot of self-healing capability. You can heal a broken leg. It's quicker with a cast. If you break your fibula, which is a small bone in your leg, and walk around, you'll probably heal it. It'll just take longer, and it'll be more miserable longer. But is it possible? Absolutely. I got my stellate ganglion block done about 15 years after I figured it out. Because I was functioning. You know, I'm a pretty resilient individual. I got some psychotherapy done, but something was still nagging at me. There is persistent doom, and this cold hand was squeezing my heart. Right? So those are my symptoms that I wanted to get rid of. I got the best therapist in the world. I didn't want to do any medications. I did all the supplements. I did all the yoga.
Yeah.
I did all of this, and that cold hand was still holding me.
Yeah.
Can you live with that? Absolutely. Do you want to? That's a different question.
Yeah.
Right?
I would like to offer an alternative perspective, non-medical perspective.
You have to understand,
one of the questions you have to ask yourself is why is, you know, a mixed race, you know, brown kid from the slums of Los Angeles writing a book with a prominent scientist, right? And I'm an artist, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he invented this thing 20 years before I ever met him. I braved COVID. I stumbled across this work 2.5 years ago, braved COVID to you know, do this sci-fi procedure on myself in the winter in Chicago. I mean, you know, I thought
Sci-fi.
That was my mentality at the time. You know, my mentality is very different now. So my alternative perspective is this. You know, what my offering here is I don't see this in relation to the extreme. Dr. Lipov has been incredibly successful at the extreme. The military is probably doing, they're doing 3,000 at Fort Bragg alone. They're probably doing 15 to 20,000 of these a year.
Wow.
The second largest cohort, the Army studied it. The Navy studied it. 60 Minutes did a piece on it. Joe Rogan's done a piece on it. Obama endorsed it. He's been very successful in a very short period of time bringing this to the world. I don't see it in relation to the extreme. I see it in relation, when I first went to Fort Bragg for other work I was doing and I saw these seven symptoms that the guy, Jeff Dardia, the head of the Health Initiative Task Force at Fort Bragg for Special Forces showed me, these operator syndrome symptoms, which are identical to the running from the tiger symptoms. I didn't see, it's a thing that you get even if you're never in a firefight, just from being in a fire base in Afghanistan and carrying stress. When I first saw those symptoms on a phone at Fort Bragg, I didn't see soldiers. I saw the neighborhood where I grew up. I saw Mexican immigrants. And my mind started spinning. So when I look at somebody and I hear your story, Sandy, somebody that goes, this alternative perspective, somebody that goes and commits their life to holistic health, yoga, eating non-inflammatory foods, breath work, being in nature, animals, working out, supplements. There's all sorts of things. And one of the things I'm really immersed in right now are resilience techniques. Once we get our reset, how do we keep from getting, you know, re-traumatized so that it's up again?
Yeah.
So I'm really obsessed with learning resilience techniques and sharing those right now. But with somebody like you, from my observation, based on what Dr. Lipov said about his own experience, of there's always a cold hand on his heart. You're going to be able to, if you're really disciplined and you do all these modalities, you're going to be able to mitigate against it. It's going to be a lot less, but you're fighting against it. Whereas if you did Sandy, did this reset, all those modalities would still be more valuable to you. It would just be in a more calm, you're not punching through a paper bag.
You know what? I would agree with that. And I'm going to say this because, you know, my family said, you always want to fix people, right? And so maybe that maybe isn't as extreme as that cold hand on my heart, but there's something that fuels it. And you are right, because anytime I see something in a family member, it's like that old feeling comes back, like, oh my God, they're going to get sick. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're going to die. They're going to, you know, they're going to get a horrible disease. And you are 100% right, because in me, that doesn't go away, but that's probably part of what fuels my passion in doing what I do now.
That's the irony, is it's hyper,
right?
What you're describing is hyper arousal and hypervigilance. So it has incredibly powerful things that it can do. Hypervigilance and hyperarousal, what you're describing in effect, like to save it, you know, with your family members, it can save you from a tiger. It's powerful. It can drive you to be a CEO or a pop star. But once you get there, and it drove me probably to my success, which is as an author and an artist, having hypervigilance, having hyperarousal.
Yes.
But once you get there, then you're still uncomfortable in your own body. And you're still having to do yoga every single day to mitigate it.
You're right.
Why don't you do yoga every single day and eat right and do all these holistic forms because you want to have a solar and beautiful existence? You don't want to do those things to have to mitigate against yourself all the time, like I was for my entire life until I did this procedure.
So it can.
So, yeah, let me give one more thought. So if you look at the RAM in the computer, right? So if you have a lot of programs running, it takes up a lot of that RAM and it runs slower. So with all due respect, I don't know your history as well as I could, of course. But think about it. It takes a lot of effort to maintain this force. It takes a lot of effort. And then just the mere fact, I mean, then the great thing about being a human being, you have a good memory, you remember what happened. But the bad thing is you're carrying that luggage. One thing can remind you, and you always have those little things that remind you and those little triggers, and you mitigate them by being busy. If you mitigate by being busy, you're working very hard. And can you live like that? 120%. And that's why you're so successful and you have all those things you're doing. But one thing is, what I can tell you from my experience, is that meditation, I think, is one of the most amazing things in the world.
It's
been shown to, right? Brain tissue bank. But if you can sit by yourself and just rest, churn everything out, if you can do that, and you don't have to get up and do a bunch of things, you have come there. Whatever you did was the perfect thing. If you have to get up and do things, oh, I have to do this, you have to do this, I would say your brain is working very hard to maintain this homeostasis, and it's a lot of work, and it's exhausting. It is, for me, it was. And it's exhausting.
And the other thing is, because you're maintaining and this thing is stimulating secretions in your body. Like you might have elevated cortisol. I mean, Dr. Lipov can speak more to this.
Yeah.
So there's a host of you're only maintaining. You're treading water, right? And some people are going to be better at that than others. If you go fully holistic, I meet people that are fully holistic and do yoga that have this injury, and they're doing pretty good, but they're still having to tread water, and you're still having things occurring in your body that can have a cascade of physical effects. It can discombobulate the immune system. It can have orthopedic effects. There's all sorts of, I think, my opinion is, as from what I've observed, is we're looking at a significant amount of human disease, from autoimmune diseases mm-hmm. to cancer, is stemming from having an overactive sympathetic nervous system. And heart attacks. Dr. Lipov can explain the science behind that. But I believe the majority of psychiatric ills plaguing the world today, and the majority of unexplained physiological ills plaguing the world today, is coming from an overactive sympathetic nervous system. There's an incredible book out there by Nadine Burke Harris called The Deepest Well. And there's data in this book, I think she works for the Biden administration now, where she basically says she has a lot of data to support that the leading cause of disease in adults, humans, is their ACEs score, their adverse childhood experiences. Childhood
trauma I've heard.
Is the leading cause of disease in adults. Okay. And then you have Bissell's work, The Body Keeps the Score.
So yes.
If childhood trauma is causing disease, and if the body keeps the score, this is the scorekeeper. This is the mechanism in the body that is doing that damage, okay? And this is what the adverse childhood experience is doing to you, is giving you an overactive sympathetic, and that is, Dr. Lipov can explain what that does inside the body, but that is what is causing this plague of unexplained disease. And then you add on to it what the digital world is doing to us. We live in these unnatural environments.
Yeah.
We have all this. We're designed evolutionarily for 50,000 years to be in a natural state. Animals make us present. Nature makes us present, right? When being in these artificial environments all the time with all of this digital overload coming in, we're not designed physiologically for it.
Yeah.
So just the, you know, Gabor Mate talks about in his new book, The Myth of Normal, just if he was going to design a world to make us stressed out and crazy just to exist in, he would design the world we live in now. So, just existing in the modern world, listening to the news over COVID and the other stuff that was going on for the last 4 years, that can create an allostatic load that could trigger this in anyone. And they would have the symptoms, never associate themselves with trauma, and they have a host of physiological disease on the way to them because they don't think they experienced anything, but they just know they're uncomfortable in their body.
So Dr. Lipov mentioned, you know, think of it as a computer, right? Like, I want to go back to this because I like this analogy. You know, and Jamie, you talked about childhood trauma and the ACEs score. So I see it almost as we have so much bandwidth, right? And everybody has different, like, you know, your bandwidth is different than my bandwidth. And then once you reach it, that's when DSR can come into play and really help. What would you say? Maybe I'm talking very as an analogy. It would expand your bandwidth. It would help with that.
So let me give you an answer.
Yeah. Right?
So if they, again, back to the computer analogy. So if you look at a computer, so if let's say it's running slowly, the first thing you do is you put in a patch for the software package, right? But if your RAM is broken, if your hardware is broken, it's not going to go very far. So the way I see the world is DSR actually fixes the hardware and then the software patch will work. So I see tons of patients who have psychotherapy for years and years and years. They can make progress because the fight and flight system is overactive. But after the DSR, they can be much more compliant with psychotherapy. They can tolerate it. They don't get triggered as much, so they can do the work. And everybody's brains are different. I mean, certain IQs are different. Prefrontal lobe in certain people is huge, and they have so much self-control. They can do anything. They go through hell, and nothing happens. Nothing sticks to them, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, believe me, at no measure am I advocating that everybody is DSR. Absolutely not.
Okay, well, that my perspective is that I think 50 to 60, you know, that 50% of the North American population, the global population, need DSR. Most of them don't associate with trauma. So I have a very different perspective.
As a clinician, yeah. I cannot be the one saying, everybody needs one.
Sandy, I want you to get it. You tell me everyone doesn't need it.
I knew you'd say that, Jamie. I knew it. I knew it.
I'm telling to say that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there, you know, I've treated the last, you know, what I did the first 2 years, I sent probably 8 to 10 of my, quote, white privileged CEO friends in the first year after I got this. People that never associated themselves with trauma. Maybe they had a distant father, but they had the symptoms. One for lot one, these guys' lives were transformed. Right. So I want people to feel comfortable in their bodies. My contribution to this work is to bring this away from the extreme to everyday people. I want this to be like LASIK and Botox. I want that 50% of the global population to have access to being comfortable within themselves without having to do crazy shit every day just to feel even. Okay. They have to do, I mean, instructors all the time. They have to do yoga every day or they're to mitigate against their nervous system. What I would love for Dr. Lipov to do and tell us is what is it that having an overactive sympathetic in the body does to internally to the body that's causing cancer and causing disease and causing this host of physiological problems?
So I'll do that. I think we need to talk about two things before we go.
Okay.
Number one, you have to show the cover of the book. Because we haven't shown the beautiful picture of the book. Come on, you can show the book.
Okay.
There you go.
Beautiful. I love
and
it.
Again, one thing I will say is Stella Center. I would have never
I'm
done
getting
this.
There.
Okay. Okay.
I'm getting
there's,
there.
There is a so. Private equity. They're opening up clinics all over the world. The only protocols you can get are Dr. Lipov's protocols. Do not get this outside of the Stella protocols. Over to you, Dr. Lipov.
All right.
Okay.
You're amazing, David. Anyway, okay. So I'm a chief medical officer for Stella. As you can see, I'm traveling with my amazing shirt.
Yeah, there it is.
The other side. Yeah, right there. Anyway, so I think we do a good job. You know, as a medical director, I make sure everybody's trained. We're doing the right things. Anyway, having said that, let me give you the answer to the question. So what happens? I wrote a paper about DSR impact on immune system. So when somebody is stressed or they have long history of exposure of stress or PTSD, PTSI, whichever term you want to throw around, basically immune system gets dysregulated. We know that because when somebody has, there was a paper written, somebody had ulcerative colitis, which is autoimmune kind of condition in the gut. And they had interleukin-6, which is one of the transmitters that controls immune system, was elevated. After the DSR, or Fipstela is actually in their publication, IL-6, interleukin-6 level dropped, and symptoms of ulcerative colitis went away, which is really interesting.
Wow.
So if you take it in the big level, right, what causes cancer? Everybody develops cancer, but people, not everybody gets cancer because the immune system scavenges and kills the cancer cell. So if the immune system is asleep or dysregulated from trauma, the cancer rate go up. So that can lead to rheumatoid arthritis. It can lead to a lot of things, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So that immune system is a very powerful driver of what we're doing. So, and then also, norepinephrine increases vasal tone, so the blood vessels are squeezed on a continuous basis. And that leads to plaques in the heart. And that's why somebody has, and there are other physiological factors, but what's interesting is that if you look at people with PTSD, a number of studies show that the chance of heart attacks are 2 times higher. The rates of cancer has not been studied actually very well, but it's very clear to me, these people who had cancer or cancer scares, that by itself can lead to PTSD and so on. So it's all, you can see how it's all connected.
Yes.
And right. And then, so if you can repair the immune system, that's huge in so many levels. That leads to potentially Alzheimer's, and basically most of the diseases are related to the immune system.
Yeah. I will say it's doctor, you know, 3.5 years ago, Dr. Lipov met a, you know, teamed up with a private equity firm in Chicago, a multi-billion dollar private equity firm, to open clinics with his, the stuff with all of his protocols, the Stella protocols, all over the world. There's 35 clinics in the United States now. If there was no Stella Center and this guy didn't do that, I would have not pursued this work. I would have not written this book with Dr. Lipov. He has the most efficacious, Stella Center has the most efficacious protocols in the world. And if you're not getting this from Stella Center, you're not getting this. When I first went to Fort Bragg over two years ago, they were calling this, they were doing it based off a paper from 10 years ago. All these protocols have really been modernized in the last 7 years. It went from 70% effective to 85 to 90. Because they started, it's a dual shot now. It goes on the right side and the left side of the neck.
We need to clarify what this is.
Okay, that's true.
But let Dr. Lipov, because you're an anesthesiologist, right?
Correct.
So let's clarify what this is. What is dual sympathetic reset procedure?
Let me tell you what that is.
Yes.
So basically, the original version of this is Stella ganglion block. So Stella ganglion block is basically patient lies on the table. You can use guidance. I use ultrasound, which gives us the best view. We find the part in the neck where the ganglia or a bunch of nerves come together in the neck here. From here, they go to the brain. So basically, what this is putting a local anesthetic, numbing up the nerves in the neck. And that seems to do two things. It reduces norepinephrine level in the brain in about 5 to 10 minutes. So people can feel a significant improvement in their symptoms. And then it seems to also rewire the brain to the pre-trauma state. That's why a block that's done can last 10 years.
It can last a lifetime for some people.
Wow.
We don't know how long that is, but longest outlier right now is 16 years. We got 2 blocks 16 years ago. So, and the reason that happens is because it rewires the system. So I found out that if you do, there are 2 ganglia in the neck, the ganglions, superior circuit ganglion up here, it goes to a different part of the brain, and the one here, stellar ganglion, they go to a different part of the brain. So if you do both, that's why we call it DSR, dual sympathetic reset, with 2 ganglia, sympathetic fight and flight system reset. We're resetting that to the pre-trauma state because local anesthetic, we use bupivacaine, the same thing that women have during childbirth. You know, it's the same drug. But this whole reset seems to last for months and years.
Wow.
Yeah, did that answer your question?
It does answer my question, but of course I'm going to have a million other ones after. Like, do you change?
Of course.
Do you change your personality? Do you become, it's like, you know, you're going to laugh when I probably say this, but I'm like thinking, you know, lobotomy. Like,
does I want to comment on this one. Can I comment
yes.
on
Yes.
And you go.
Yeah.
And you go, Dr.
Let me start.
Okay. Then I want to comment as a patient.
Fair enough. So the most common question people ask that are special forces. Am I going to be a wuss? If they become a wuss, they're going to die, right? That's going to be that simple. A lot of people actually are active duty.
Yeah.
So, right. So, no, what it does, if you think about it, if you are overactive, you're frenetic. You're looking everywhere at once. You're not very effective that way. If you can bring a focus and you have laser focus, then you become a very effective soldier. You become a very effective CEO. If you're sitting there trying to make a mega merger and you have not slept and your mind is all over the place, you're not a very good CEO, right? So it's not a lobotomy. We're not, first of all, I'm not sticking any needles in any brains. No, no, no. We're not going through the skull. No, absolutely not. All it does is we're reducing fight and flight system. So when somebody tells you something and you feel like you're about to explode out of your head,
yeah,
as opposed to you go, yeah, it's okay. Something's wrong with you. I'm just walking away. Which way would you like to behave? I think that's much better than the second way. You're not over-triggered. Your triggering is reduced. So two things predict suicides, by the way. One is being overactive, like to stimuli. Like somebody touches you and it's like, oh my God. Or somebody
yeah.
says something and you want to kill them, even though they need killing. Number two, you don't sleep. Both are the signs of PTSD or PTSI, and that seems to reverse it. So if you come in a much better position, definitely it's the opposite of lobotomy. You're there, and the other thing it seems to do is give you access to emotions. A lot of people who have
yes.
all emotions, they shut down. I had a guy who started crying like a baby for 45 minutes after the block. He has not felt emotion in 50 years. Last time he had emotion, he was in the middle of Vietnam, being bombed.
You're not going to be emotional if a tiger's chasing you. You're not going to be watching
right.
okay.
Gone with the Wind.
This is very fascinating because you know how they talk about people who are on different medications for
yeah.
anxiety or depression. They
yeah.
have trouble feeling emotions on these medications,
yeah.
right? And
right.
I've actually heard that from people where they're like, I wish I could feel emotions. So
yeah, because they're tranquilized.
Yes.
They're called major tranquilizers for a reason. It knocks them out. They're walking around like zombies.
Yes.
Now, that's a chemical lobotomy. That is a lobotomy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say, you know, I almost backed out of this thing because I didn't want it to change me. I'm an artist. I need my angst or my edge in my mind.
Yes.
If I take away my trauma, am I going to be able to make anything that anybody wants to see? Right.
Right. Right.
I almost backed out because of that. Right. But it was the exact opposite effect. This thing was keeping me from my emotions and keeping me from my creativity. How creative am I going to be creating ideas in the world if I'm running from a tiger? So without the tiger there, I'm just looking at the idea. Far more effective, far more planted, far more calm. You just become yourself.
Okay. So
yeah.
normal human emotion. And when I say normal, everybody's got extremes. But, you know, as somebody who's not on any kind of medication or anything, I use other things to calm me down, such as meditation. I love nature. I'm so with you on that. You know, my walks in nature. But as humans, we have ebbs and flows of our emotions.
Of course.
But what you're saying is this procedure doesn't make you flat like some medications do. You still
yeah.
have some nice ebbs and flows, which is part of humanity, right?
Yeah,
but not extreme. It's not that tiger always chasing after you.
So let me give you one example, a real quick example. So I took care of a guy who arguably was the biggest bastard in VFW in Chicago. He was like the nastiest person in the world. He's gone through 10 wives. Nasty, nasty, nasty. So we did the block on him. And people called me out. A lot of people called me and said, what did you do? He's the nicest guy in the world. What the hell?
Wow.
What the hell? He and I were on Fox News National together in 2013 saying how it changed his life. So he went from this nasty, because, you know, when people are abrupt and nasty, my father was like that. It's because their engine is going full tilt and they're trying to do the best they can. And you say hello to them, it's an attack, right? Here it's like, oh, how are you? Please sit down and talk to me. It's like everybody was like, what is this? What did he do to this guy?
Wow. Okay. I have so many questions, and I know we're already at 53 minutes. And Dr. Lipov,
I gotta catch a flight.
I know you have to catch a flight. I have to ask you this because it's so important. Yes, number one, how long does this procedure take?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. And are you under when you do you go under for it? Yeah.
Three quarters of my patients go to sleep.
Okay.
When I had mine done, I went to sleep. One quarter did not want to go to sleep, which is, I don't care. As I tell my patients, I don't feel it either way. The reason I put people asleep, I know, a lot, is because I think it's better to be, because you're already anxious.
Yes.
And I have somebody putting in, you know, I'll numb up the skin. It just feels weird. It seems like going to a dentist. Do you really like going to a dentist? No, but can you tolerate it? Sure. You know, it's the same thing. Once after I numb it up, it feels like the needle, something is being moved around, but doesn't, it's not sharp, but it's not particularly pleasant.
And basically, you know, it's like rebooting a computer. I mean, he can explain scientifically, you're reducing the nerve, excess nerve growth caused by the amygdala from trauma. There's excess nerve growth in the ganglion in the neck, and you're pruning that back. So there's a medical scientific thing occurring here. It's really the best analogy would be to, you're resetting the trauma to the pre-trauma state. The most incredible thing is most of these people that I sent, these overachievers that didn't associate themselves with trauma, they had childhood experiences that were very stressful that maybe drove them to be successful. So what they found is that typically adult trauma, a blunt force trauma and adult trauma is on the right side. They always do that on the first day. Then they do the dual sympathetic reset on the left side the next day. That's where childhood trauma is stored.
So, Jimmy,
and that's incredible just to see people waking up, you know, see a 50-year-old man that thought he was normal waking up from the left side. You know, the guy feeling, you know, it's just, I've seen it dozens of times now. It's astonishing to watch.
Jimmy, I'm going to interrupt you. I have only a couple of minutes left. Sandy, is there anything else I can specifically answer? You can talk to
yes.
Jamie,
so,
of course, but what can I ask an answer for you?
You mentioned, and I caught this, menopause, hot flashes, then there's pain, there's trauma. There are multiple applications for this. But first off, why? Is there, why? Why would I, like I'm 53. Okay, I'm 53. Why would I do this for hot flashes? Why wouldn't I just go on hormones?
Okay, well, it's interesting. So I wrote papers on that, so we can talk about it at length. But hormones, if you look at what hormones do, there are a couple of things. So you're talking about estrogen, I assume.
Well, I'm estrogen, on both. I'm on bioidentical estrogen and progesterone.
Right. So the upside of that, it makes you feel better.
Oh, yeah.
The downside, it can do a couple of things. One, it can increase breast cancer risk. And two, there is debate, it may actually increase the chance of heart attacks.
Okay.
But I'm not selling anything, I'm just selling it biologically.
Okay.
Especially if somebody has a history of breast cancer, they cannot be an estrogen.
Yeah, so yeah.
My original papers were, I published in very reputable journal called Lancet Oncology, specifically that. Because if you think about options for hot flashes, very few far in between, they're ugly. So the papers, and this has now been replicated in massive institutions, thankfully, what they found is the same thing we found, is that it takes away hot flashes. One, it also improves mood and depression, because depression and menopause go hand in hand, right? And then my wife was kind of interesting. So I was telling her, it was working hot flashes, then it was working for PTSD. She goes, you're so full of shit.
Yeah.
It's impossible. One thing can work for everything. So it turns out, as estrogen, when I talk about estrogen, I say estrogen is a cheap clonidine. Clonidine is a blood pressure medication. Estrogen reduces women's blood pressure. It's anti-sympathetic system. It reduces fight and flight system. So as women age, the blood pressure go up.
Yes.
Give them estrogen, blood pressure goes down. So the point is, the same fight and flight system, the same invisible system Jamie and I have been talking about, gives you hot flashes.
Wow.
PTSD, depression, and pain. That's why one procedure can do all of that, because sympathetic system is all pervasive.
That is so important to outline. Thank you. Because, okay, I have spoken to, I work with women midlife and older, and there are, like you said, there are a lot of women who have, you know, the BRCA gene, or they have had breast cancer. They do not want to go on hormone therapy. They're suffering with severe anxiety because their estrogen is so low, right? That is fascinating. Now, I can't let you go without asking, where is this available? Only in the U.S. right now?
It's available, actually, it's available in the U.S. We have 35 clinics. We have one site in Israel. We have four sites in Australia. We treat a number of people from Canada. I've treated personally about 50 people from Canada.
Wow.
We may be opening a site in Canada soon. I can let you know when that happens.
Yeah.
If you go to stellacenter.com, you can figure it out, but
anybody can do this. So if you're going to get this, get it from a Stella Center, or you're not getting Dr. Lipov and the Stella Center protocols. So the efficacy is not the same. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of that. You know, there's, you know, pain clinics could do a lesser version of this. Even when I was going to Fort Bragg 2 years ago, they were doing this based off of a 10-year-old paper, and people were still suffering. So,
thank you. Right. I appreciate it. I agree with you.
Yeah. Okay.
A big part of what I do is I make sure that it's appropriately done and safe and appropriate. Anyway, so if you go to that site, and we have until we open our site or sites in, I think Toronto is the first place we're thinking about. So you may be in your hometown, but just go to stellacenter.com. You know, our nurse practitioners can talk to you, figure out if you're the right candidate, and do all of that.
And what about cost? Everyone's going to want to know cost.
So I think it's about $2,000 to $3,000
yeah.
for everything. And unfortunately, insurance doesn't cover it. We're working on that, but it's going to be a while.
Okay.
And I think they have, you know, financing, they have all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And if you think about the cost of other therapeutics, this is actually a pretty decent bargain. And the compliance rate is what we do. It's 100%, right? You come in, you do it. The effects are a lot of times very rapid. One or two procedures and you're done, as opposed to month and taking a lot of meds.
Yes.
And there's never going to be a medical industrial complex connected to it, because you don't need to be dependent upon drugs if you do it. If you pound for pound, if you compare it to any other modality on the planet, it is by far the least expensive thing you can do.
Wow.
And it has no downside. The shot's been around for 100 years. Oh, there's no downside.
Jamie, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Yeah. As a clinician, there's always possible downside whenever you do a procedure. It's a needle in the neck. It has to be done correctly. The chance of side effects is extremely remote, but it is possible.
Yes.
So we do it safely. I mean, you can't say there's no downside. I've been done
this. I'm saying, well, you've done thousands of them. You've done thousands of them. How many have had a negative result?
Well, in my hands, no, but it's possible.
But my
point is, last question, I got to run.
Contraindications.
Never had one go wrong.
Hold on a second. Hold on there. Dr. Lipov, contraindications. Yeah, is there anyone who should not do this?
Okay, absolutely. So there's two types of contraindications. Number one, psychiatric. Somebody who's actively suicidal should be in a hospital.
Yeah.
We do not take care of that.
Okay.
If somebody is schizophrenic, it may help them. There are some papers saying it does help them, but debatable. That's why we have highly qualified nurse practitioners doing the assessment.
Okay.
It's a logic contraindication, meaning I cannot stick a needle down. They're a blood thinner. They cannot come on blood thinner. Absolutely not. They have a bad heart. Absolutely not. Bad lung. Absolutely not. Brain tumor. Absolutely not. a lot of, you know, problems with vocal cords, probably not, those kind of things. But okay. Again, my people screen all of that.
Yes.
But those are the basic things, right? If somebody has, we had somebody who was stabbed in diaphragm in Israel. So one part of the diaphragm is out. So when we could do a procedure on that side, but we couldn't do it on another side because potentially you can knock out the diaphragm for 8 hours with the local anesthetic. So we cannot do that. So we spend a lot of time making sure, and those are very rare occurrences, but most people are a good indication. The youngest I've personally done was 8 years old. Typically, we don't like to treat people or kids younger than 12 years old. And we can go as old as 90 years old. But
wow.
Then in those people, we scan the carotids, make sure we do it correctly.
Yes.
But, you know, it's amazing. My kid had a lot of psychiatric issues, and I did three on him, and it changed his life completely.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, last thing I want to have you think about is secondary PTSD. So my father's PTSD, he gave it to my mother and gave it to me. So a lot of people who are from Bragg, we want to treat the family. We want to treat the guys and the women because you can treat the guy and the woman still has PTSD. You can think PTSD is an infective agent, right? So you come home and somebody becomes very violent with you, they'll give you PTSD. You don't have to be in battle, but they bring the battle home.
Yeah.
So that's why we want to treat the whole family. It's a big job out there, but I think we're up to it.
I love it.
And it's a massive assault to the medical industrial complex because it...
Whatever. I'm going to go. You, okay. Thank you.
Bye, Dr. Lipov. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Safe travels.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye. Jamie, yeah. We can wrap up.
Okay. So, no, I just wanted to say, you know, there's lots of dependencies that one does not need if they get this. You're not going to need to be on drugs for the rest of your life. You know, like it was interesting. When I was first having a conversation with Daniel Amen, who's been a partner in this book and become an amazing friend.
Dr. Amen?
Dr. Amen is a massive part of this book.
And no way. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was scanning people. You know, he donated, you know, probably $100,000 in brain scans. I would scan their brain at Amen Clinic, do this procedure on people over 2 days in Chicago, and then scan their brain again less than 48 hours later.
Oh, amazing.
And also, you know, when we started doing this, I eventually wanted to write a book, and we're working on a film as well. I was only interested in the nervous system. And I came across so much TBI and brain damage from drug and alcohol abuse that I thought, well, we have to address this in the book. But when I was first, in my first Zoom call ever, when I was talking to Daniel Amen, and he was kind of, I was trying to get him to help me, you know, and he, I don't know if he was looking at me, he was leery. I don't even think he wanted to be on the call. And I finally said, you know, Daniel, if you're the first person that's been saying that mental wellness is biological, you've been doing this for 20 years, you've been attacked for it, the science is coming in proving you're right. If this is a major part of the puzzle, you need to be a part of it. All I'm asking you to do is look. Okay. So Daniel said, hold on. And, you know, and he starts Googling on the Zoom right in front of me. And before I'd asked him, how come these things are so hard to get for people to believe it? And he said, well, you know, there was a Nobel, he showed me a quote, he screen shared a quote from Max Planck, a Nobel Prize winner from the 40s in physics, who said that medical innovation is one in funerals. You have to wait for your opposition to die.
Mm.
And he told me that's why he's so healthy. He's going to outlive them. Okay. I was telling him about this. He knew about it, but he didn't really know anything about it. And he started Googling around right in front of me on the Zoom like you are now. And he kind of, his mouth kind of fell open. And he was like, huh. And I said, what? And he said, Jamie, this is a really credible study saying this is 70% effective in the permanent relief of the most extreme post-traumatic stress symptoms. And I said, Daniel, that is a paper that is 10 years old.
Mm.
It's 85 to 90% now.
Yeah.
The latest modifications and innovations and improvements. Daniel Amen said to me right when I said that, he said, Jamie, you don't understand. But 70%, this is Nobel Prize winning work.
Wow.
Yeah. It changes the world. You know, it goes up against a lot of, you know, vested interests in a way. I hate to say that because it sounds so, you know, conspiratorial. But I mean, I have a degree in economics. So I'm always nervous when you have an economic system built, you know, I believe in profit as a motivator for efficiency, but I also think that you can, you know, when you have mental health and physical wellness connected to a profit center, it's a recipe for danger for people to become dependent just to keep that profit center going.
Yeah.
You go do this, the likelihood is that you go off and you just live your life. There's no continuous dependency. So it doesn't feed the medical industrial complex.
Makes sense what you're saying. And, you know, I just listening to you guys, I did get a copy of your book. I scanned it because I have to read a lot of books. So I did a quick little scan. But, you know, especially
the invisible machine.
Especially now post COVID, where everyone is talking about mental health, right? It's like everyone and your neighbor has some sort of an issue now, right? Trauma from COVID, trauma from this and trauma from that. And then we were, especially in Toronto, we were all trapped in our homes. We were told at one point not even to go for that nature walk, believe it or not. So, you know, there's a lot of, I think this offers a lot of hope.
I think that the ability to reset the nervous system, some of the most important and powerful trauma doctors in the world contributed to this book and endorsed Dr. Lipov's work. From Stephen Porges, who wrote Polyvagal Theory, Gabor Mate was interviewed and contributed to this book. And, you know, again, if you can reset the nervous system, when you see addiction, if you look at Gabor Mate's work, he's basically saying the next time you see an addict, don't see an addict. See somebody that is regulating their sympathetic nervous system.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
Right. So this changes the world. I think it's the most important medical innovation. That's why I'm trying to get it away from the extremes into the people. Like, that's why I think my number of 50% is probably low, because of just the stress of COVID and the stress of the modern world. Right.
Yeah.
I think that it is the most important medical innovation since the discovery of penicillin in 1928. I think it dwarfs the polio vaccine just in terms of the suicides you would save alone.
Yeah.
And so it is the most important human discovery, I think, since the moon landing, right? So what I'm trying to do, he's been massively successful at the extremes. What this book does is say, okay, we're coming out away from the extremes and we're bringing this to everyone, to everyday people.
Yeah, because this isn't new. He's been doing this for a while, right?
Since 2008, the first time he published on it.
Okay.
Now, listen, there's not anybody listening to this conversation right now that either doesn't have trauma or isn't dealing with 10 people with trauma, right? Because this is so prevalent in our society. COVID, prolonged allostatic load is I think more people are getting it from that, so they don't associate with having trauma, than any other cause are they getting an overactive sympathetic nervous system. So if you have any of these symptoms, or you know anybody that's struggling, get this book, read this book. You can get it from the library. It's $10 on Kindle. You know,
it'll be in my show notes too. I'll make sure I put a link, because it's available on Amazon and anywhere else you buy books. Right. So,
And one of the things that Daniel Amen talks about is when you start, sometimes medications are necessary, but in most cases, when you start medicating somebody, there's a medical industrial complex behind motivating that, which is dangerous. And I'm a capitalist, but it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay? And what Daniel Amen said, I think he says it in the book, is, you know, when you're basically causing a change in the brain, you're basically creating a problem to solve a problem. What makes the dual sympathetic reset so special is you're not creating any other problem. There's virtually no downside. You're going to get, and with a person struggling, you're going to get further with this in a day or two than you could with years and years of other forms of therapy.
Right.
That are really necessary and really effective. You know, EMDR, talk therapy, there's so many incredible ketamine things out there. But if you reset the leg first, then do these therapies, It's like doing physical therapy after you've healed your leg. Otherwise, you're doing these incredible modalities over a broken leg. This is the fundamental system. It's going to change the world. If you look at 50,000 people a year were saved from polio, from the polio vaccine, the amount of people that commit suicide all over the world every year is far greater than that, let alone all the disease that it stops, the comfort it puts in people's lives. Again, if we can understand this innovation is a reset of the nervous system in relation to everyday people that do not associate with trauma. Yes, you who are listening to this right now. Yeah, you right there. You. Yeah.
You're talking about me too, Jamie. So, okay, wait, we're over an hour. Can you just tell me just the website where people can find you? And I will have that in the show notes too.
Well, you can find, I'd say go to Eugene. You know, I'm an artist and do all sorts of crazy, cool design work. I mean, I wrote a book called The Art and Science of Standing Out, which is kind of called The Iconist, The Art and Science of Standing Out. In a lot of ways, this book is proof of concept. I believe art can be an amplifier. And when I met Dr. Lipov and we became friends, my proposal to him was, let's bring this to the masses and let's use art as a way to accelerate. So we don't have to wait like 30 years, like Daniel says, for people to die. You can accelerate that to a year or two through art, right? So you can find me at Iconist, Iconist.ltd. But don't look for me unless you want to say hi or just connect with me.
Okay.
Go to DrEugeneLipov.com. Go to StellaCenter.com.
Okay.
If you're not getting this from Stella Center, you're not getting the Stella Center protocols, you're not getting this. If you want it to be efficacious, my biggest fear in writing this book is that it would be a massive hit and then pain clinics would be offering this all over the world for $500, but you're not getting the dual sympathetic reset. You're getting something else.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you
so much for this amazing conversation, Jamie.
Well, you are an amazing facilitator. I'm blown away by your ability to bring out the nuance. You're so smooth. You're so unassuming. I didn't know what to expect going in, but like, no, you are an astonishing facilitator in terms of the simple way that you get to the nitty gritty and to get to what's relevant. And you have this amazing ability, Sandy, to kind of grab that relevant piece and expose it. And I just, I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. That is so sweet and kind. Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to share it with someone you know might benefit. And always remember, when you rate, review, subscribe, you help to support my content and help me to keep going and bringing these conversations to you each and every week. Join me next week for a new topic, new guest, new exciting conversations to help you live your best life.